To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the painting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Find out what this is all about coming up next right here on the Parker J. Cole Show. And welcome to the Parker J. Cole Show. I am so excited you are here with me today. We're going to have an absolutely phenomenal time with my guest co-host and contributor today, Zara Brodenack. She is the founder and the owner and the creator of the Fathers Daughters Anthology series. And we'll be talking about that today and some of her other works. And so stay tuned for an enlightening show and just be blown away by this woman of God and what she is doing to bring about the kingdom of God here on earth. But I do want to tell you about the Southern California Christian Writers Conference coming up next month in just a few weeks. If you are a writer, whether you're a newbie or a seasoned author, and you want to be part of something spectacular, you definitely want to go to the Southern California Christian Writers Conference. I was there last year and I taught two workshops, and I'll be teaching two more workshops again this year from June 21st through the 23rd. So make sure you join me in La Mirada at the lovely University of Biola there. It's a wonderful facility. There's a lot of different campus buildings there. You can walk everywhere you go, so you get your exercise there, and some lovely scenery. And just most of all, we have the opportunity to just mingle and worship together as writers for Christ. Whether you are a seasoned author with more than 100 books under your name, or whether you're just an aspiring author with just that one manuscript, the Southern California Christian Writers Conference is definitely for you. Make sure you go online and register today. You can register by simply Googling Southern California Christian Writers Conference. And make sure you sign up for any appointments you want with me. I will be taking appointments while I'm there. So if you're a publisher, an agent, an author, or someone who does author service providing, you can definitely sign up with me. I'll be more than happy to talk with you. Again, make sure you join me for the Southern California Christian Writers Conference, June 21st through the 23rd. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to Zara Brodenack and her anthology, Beauty for Ashes. Stay tuned.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then authorshout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at authorshout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by authorshout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
Has God called you to be a pastor or leader, but the men and women in your church won't let you speak because you're a female? Is the call to minister strong on your life, but you hesitate because you think the Bible tells women to be silent in the church? I'm Jory Micah, and I am here to tell you, sister, that together we can break the glass steeple. I fight and advocate for gender equality in the church, and there are others with me who are holding up the banner. Subscribe to my blog at joryimicah.com for interviews, commentary, and uplifting words to give you the motivation to answer the call to ministry. Together, we can break the glass steeple and inspire all of God's children, men and women alike, answer the call to ministry.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very glad you are here with me today as we talk to Zara Brodeneck. She is the founder, the creator, and the author of the Father's Daughters Anthology Series. Eight women gather together to show how God transforms wounds for worship, pain for praise, and tragedy for triumph. One of the things that I've always been floored by God's way is how he takes horrible things that happen to us, and we say it brought about some of the best things that have happened in my life. You know, the Bible says everything works together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. When we hear that, we say it a lot in church, but do we really understand what that means? The miracle that is involved when it comes to taking your pain, the pain you think you'll never get over, the tragedy that you'll never think you'll get over, the wounds you think that will never heal, that he takes the wounds, the pain, and tragedy and turns it into something good. This, I think, is a mystery because we all have had these experiences in our life where that has happened to us. And then you say, you know what, if it hadn't been for this, I wouldn't be where I am today, or in some way, form, or fashion. And so we're going to be talking about that with my guest co-host and contributor today, Zara Brodeneck. Zara, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. How are you, Miss Parker?
I am fine, and let me tell you, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with me on the show. I never take it lightly when we have our guests with us, and it's no different today. You could be doing anything else, but you're here with me today, and I'm so very excited and very looking forward to delving into this anthology and knowing that our listeners will be benefited by the stories of these women. So go ahead. In your own words, let's first learn about you and tell us about yourself.
Oh, well, first let me say thank you, Parker, for having me on your show. I am honored to be here today. I love the fact that you allow me to be here, so I'm very grateful for that. To give you a little bit about myself, I am originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. I served 20 years in the United States Army, retired 2 years ago, and started a publishing company. I'm married with two girls that are now 7 and 10, which I think they're really 70 and 100 because they've been around for so long because they know everything.
I love it.
So, and that's mainly me. I'm also a Girl Scout troop leader. I'm a licensed minister, you know, an entrepreneur, a creative being, someone who loves to just have fun and write and tell stories.
Thank you so much for your service to our country. I really appreciate what you have done. I think the servicemen and servicewomen in our armed forces, the things that they do, we couldn't do because they're fighting for our way of life and for our freedom. I want to thank you so much for that. And I'm sure you have some interesting tales to tell as a member of the armed forces. And so hopefully we'll get to that later on in the broadcast. And then I like the fact that you're a Girl Scout trooper leader. I remember being in Girl Scouts years ago, like 1,000 years ago, but I think I was only in it for one semester. I don't think I sold a cookie when I had a chance to sell a cookie, because I'm not a good salesperson, you know. Because if you say, do you want a cookie? If I say I want a cookie and you say no, I say, okay, you know, there you go. I'm not going to, you know, make you get the tag-alongs, which is my weakness, by the way. So I'm very excited to hear about that, you know. But you say you started the publishing company right after you came out of the armed forces. What made you want to do that?
Well, first, let me say thank you for thanking me for my service. It was an honor to serve, and I love the fact that I did that. Yes, what made me start a publishing company was the fact that I was in two anthologies back in 2016 by a certain publisher who changed her company within the same year. So it was Hot Pink Publishing in May when we released Beyond the Woman, and it was Soulful Pen Publishing when we released in November. In the same year of 2016. And she initially said she wanted to sell her publishing company, and I was interested. When I tell you, you didn't know that you wanted something until the moment it falls in your lap, that's how I was with this publishing company. I was like, I want to do that. Don't sell your company until you talk to me. And so I tried really hard. I have 2 degrees in business. I tried really hard to negotiate a business deal with her. And what I found out was that she really wasn't – she didn't have a company per se to give, but she definitely wanted the money that I was going to lay out. And so I decided, along with my husband looking at me saying that this doesn't sound right, a friend of mine – who was like, you could start this company on your own. I decided to go off and start my own company so I could have a platform for people to tell their story and give a voice and actually make it look professional and be encouraging and supportive to the people out there. So it was really the person who wanted my money for her publishing company that really truly didn't really exist is the one who started me for a publishing company.
That's usually how it happens, you know. It's amazing how when you want something and it's staring in front of you, you say, I want that, but then you realize, I don't want that. I want my own. You know, it's kind of like, if I could use the analogy, it's kind of like looking at someone else's man and say, oh, I want him. And then you go, then you find out something weird. You go, I don't want him, you know, because he looks good on the outside.
Right.
And then you find out, oh, he got issues. You know?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's okay. That's quite okay. I'll stick with what I have. You know, it's fascinating how that works out. And it kind of just all leads into this whole thing about beauty for ashes and how God takes mixes beautiful from the ashes of our life. And I want to definitely get into that. But I want to hear some more about the type of things you want to publish, the type of things you publish, and how people who are interested in getting in contact with you as a publisher, what you're looking for. So go ahead and just give us what we need to know as interested people interested in submitting their work to you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm a hybrid publishing company, so I don't really have a genre that I'm not publishing from. I try to be that middle person, that middleman, to help a person who's written their story help them go through the process of getting their copyright, getting their ISBN, getting them their books in their hand. So I look for people who have a story and they want some help to get their story out there, whether they don't know what they're doing or they don't have the resources or they just don't have the time. I take that burden off and become that person, almost an agent kind of sort of, for them to get editing done, to get all of their tools that they need, to go to a printer and actually get it printed and get them copies shipped to them, help them figure out how to market their book and as well. So I don't really have, like I said, I don't have a genre. I'm just looking for people who are going to tell the story. But on the opposite end, Gathering House Publishing, as that publishing company, we are publishing right now anthologies. We're looking at a poetry anthology, an adoption anthology, a men's anthology, another series, another copy of the woman's anthology. So we're right now looking at anthologies that Gathering House is putting out to get more people in, because I tell people all the time, it might be more cost-effective for you as well as mind-effective, because it's not intimidating to write 2,000 words versus writing 80,000. So we're looking at doing anthologies from the Gathering House as its own line, but I help other people publish whatever they have. Children's books I've done, an autobiography I've done. I have someone contact me last night about a cookbook. So I'm trying to help them get whatever they can.
So it seems as if two arms of what you're doing here. You're helping people like a consultant, like an author services consultant. That's what it sounds like to me, like you're providing author services, whether it's in marketing, whether it's getting a good editor, whether it's doing some of the legwork for the author. That sounds like a consultant to me. And then the other arm of it is that you're doing publishing. You're focusing on anthologies, but that's not just your main goal, but that is something you want to do for right now, because I'm sure as the vision changes, you'll know exactly what's going to happen. You just started a company, so you're in the growing stages, and having that fluidity, I think it's a brilliant plan, because you're not locked down into just one thing. And people who are interested in getting your help, you can help them as you see fit, and if you can be of service to them. So for those of you listening out there, Zara Bradenex is, I'm going to call you a consultant, is an author, services provider, consultant, as well as a publishing company, a gathering house. So make sure as you continue to listen into the broadcast, we're going to give you the website and the best way for you to contact Zara if you're interested in her providing and helping out in your writing career. And I like that because as I was looking you up online, I noticed things. I noticed that you help people. It's just very evident, just your online presence of you helping people. And recently you shared your testimony, and I was very honored to be tagged in your Facebook post. You shared the testimony, and I wanted to give our listeners just a bit of your testimony that you shared with us, because I want people to know that you understand what it means to come for beauty from ashes. You understand that. Just go ahead and tell us as much as you want regarding your own personal testimony, how it really relates to what you're doing now.
Well, I'm an only child from the streets of New Orleans who worked her way up to get to college through an ROTC scholarship and then became an officer in the United States Army, served 20 years, but faced a lot of battles, not just battles that we fight in the natural sense, because I have been to Iraq, but fighting a lot of spiritual battles. Just life itself has been a battle zone for me. A lot of people tell me that it's really amazing that I was in the Army and I learned how to fight the battles that the battle zone would need to be fought, because I can do that for the Army of the Lord. I've been through, almost been raped. I've been, my oldest daughter was molested on a school bus a couple of years ago when she was in second grade. We have had people to harass us, whether it be for race or everything. But I've seen almost everything possible that a woman could face before the age of 40, and I'm only 43. And so when I write my story inside Beauty for Ashes, I try to be very honest and transparent and say, you know what, I may have gone through a storm, but the storm didn't take me out.
Amen.
I'm here, I'm still fighting. And then I was able to find seven other women to say the exact same thing, which is amazing, because we have different battles. Mine, I'm not going to tell you what my story is because I want you to get the book, but it's a decision that most women make haphazardly without thinking about the consequences in the end. And so, even in the consequences and facing after the decision has been made, I still say, God, you're still able, and you still bring me through, and you've brought me back to be whole all over again.
As I'm listening to you, I can't help but I have to compare you with a fictional character that not people are aware of, and I think about the fictional character of Olivia Benson from the hit show Law and Order SVU. You know, she plays a police detective on this sexual victim crime unit. I'm saying it wrong, but she plays.
No, you're good because I know Olivia Benson. I love that character.
You know, and you know she's this strong woman, and I think they just ended a show. I think last week or before last, they just ended a show. It's been on for like 19 years, and throughout this whole series, you see her grow and you see her go through all these things, but she's not bitter. Yeah, she gets, you know, angry and stuff, but she's not bitter, and she's dealt with some horrible things, been attacked, all these other things, and yet she still maintains that that thing that we admire so much about her. And I see that just coming and pouring out of you is that, you know, I have been through the storm, I have been through the rain, I have been through hell, and guess what? God is still able, and I'm still a soldier in the Army of the Lord. You don't abandon your post. You know, and I like that you can have that connection with being a soldier and with being in battle with this spiritual thing we call spiritual warfare. You know, that it is very real. And lately, for the last several weeks, our shows have been touching a lot on spiritual warfare. What is your thought about spiritual warfare? Having been a soldier for us and taking care of us, being in Iraq and seeing some things. What is your thoughts about spiritual warfare that you want the church and our listeners to know from your own personal perspective?
Oh, I wholeheartedly believe in spiritual warfare. I believe it exists. I believe it's out there. But I believe people don't realize that they're on a battlefield and that they're fighting. I think they think that things just kind of happen every now and then. They don't go back to figure out where did they make the wrong decision, where did they lose their forward movement, where did they – I want to use some military terms, but I don't want to lose anybody. I think
please do. I would love you to use military terms. Please do.
You know, I think when they go into, you know, it's a good example is, as I came into my house earlier, my aunt was watching War Room. And instantly I think of that. I think people think they need to go into a closet and just start praying. That, to me, is the first step. When you go into a war room, it's an actual war room. The whole battlefield is laid out. And you see where your enemy is, and you see where your friendly people are. You see where your unit is. And you get to look at the obstacles as well as the advanced things that are there. And you get to decide whether or not you're going to move or you're going to stay still. And you have to make that decision before you even go into the war room. You have to look at all the intel that comes in that gives you that information. So when you go in and you're presented with other information from other people, because you're not on the battlefield by yourself, you have different people with expert ideas and experts in their field that to give you information for your mind, for your body, for your spirit, for your soul, for your education. You go and you collaborate as a whole on how you're going to fight the enemy, because he really exists and he keeps coming back because he only knows one way to do things. And so when you're there, you have to decide if I'm going to attack or if I'm going to retreat, if I'm going to stand firm and I'm going to force the issue, or am I going to defend? And a lot of times people will retreat and defend instead of attack. And so he keeps coming. He keeps coming and coming. I decided as a little girl on the streets of New Orleans, I was interested in voodoo, not because I wanted to be a person who did voodoo, but it was something that was curious to me because it dealt with spirits and demons. And I realized then, when I got a little bit older, that little girl who was interested in that information, it was because she was curious about something she was going to have to go fight one day. I have been training to fight battles, even as a little girl, when I would go get information. And I think if we don't figure out who our enemy is and how they attack us, we will constantly get wounded on the battlefield. And we and our friends won't be able to help us because they're wounded too, because they don't have the same vision to get out of the situation the correct way. They want to stand. Sometimes you don't have to fight head on hand. You can fight mentally and battle it out. You know, it doesn't have to always be physical. And so my biggest thing is I love the fact that I have military training. I have that expertise behind me because it gives me more gumption and more power in order to cross over to the spiritual realm and fight the battle.
I hope you are as titillated as I am by talking to Zara Brodeneck. She is an author, publisher, and an author services provider, consultant, helping you to get your book out there, to get the marketing, to get it edited, and whatever else she can help you to get the message about your book out there. And she's telling us about her new anthology, which is the inaugural book of the Fathers Daughters Anthology series, 8 women gathered together to show how God transforms wounds for worship, pain for praise, and tragedy for triumph. You can go ahead and get a copy of that today. It's already received rave reviews, so you want to definitely love on my sister today and call and get your copy today. If you want to call in and ask a question or join in the conversation, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag PJC Show, with your questions and comments. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Have you read the latest issue of SoarMag Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? Sormac Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. Sormac Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, Sormac Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on Sormag.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about Sormag Digital, check us out on Sormag.com or contact us at Sormag@Yahoo.com. Sormag Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today as we talk to Zara Brodenax. She is the founder of Gathering House Publishing, as well as the contributor and the creator of the Fathers Daughters Anthology Series, which is an offering of the Gathering House Publishing Company. And eight women gather together to show how God transformed wounds for worship, pain for praise, and tragedy for triumph. It's available right now on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And as we just continue to talk to Zara, I want to bring something to your attention. Those of you who have been following both The Right Stuff and have been following The Parker J. Cole Show know that there's been a steady stream of themes regarding spiritual warfare. And I really believe the Lord is wanting to let me and you both know that spiritual warfare, first of all, is very real. And in that reality, we have to be armed. We have to be cognizant of these things, and we cannot ignore them. So we want to make sure that as we talk, that you be prayerful, that we first of all pray for each other. We don't know what each of us are going through, so make sure you pray for each other. And then make sure you do something that I think some of us don't do, whether it's consciously or unconsciously. Pray for yourself. Pray that God gives you the strength to handle and be a good soldier in his army as we fight in this battle of spiritual warfare. One thing Zara said before the break, she said that sometimes we retreat and defend instead of attack. And when we go into our war room, we have our private moment with the Lord. When we go into that war room, we need to know who the enemy is and what our strategy needs to be. Sometimes the strategy is not to defend and retreat. It's to attack. Attack the enemy before he comes into your house. Attack the enemy before he attacks and tries to get to your children. Attack the enemy before he tries to attack your marriage. Attack the enemy before he tries to upset your job. You know, so these are things you have to be aware of. And Zara, who is a former retired armed forces member of our armed forces, she has this training and allows her to see what's going on in the spiritual world as well as in the real world here. And Zara, once again, thank you so much for being with us and helping us to, first of all, understand that reality and then letting the Lord use you through publishing to help reach others about how he can turn our beauty for ashes. And I'm really excited to talk about that. And so with that in mind, I want to kind of go back to the spiritual warfare thing, because I saw the movie War Room. I enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you. I did not like the acting. I thought the acting could have been superb. But all that aside, I love the message of War Room, because I'm really allergic to bad acting. I really am. Okay. But I love the message of it, which is why I was able to get through it. You know, I love the message of it, especially when they show her praying and she's rebuking Satan. And when I've seen that happen in my own life, when you have to rebuke Satan, when you realize that there is a darkness here that lingers and there is a darkness that wants to consume you. And I remember one time I had something happen and my older sister was praying for me, because sometimes we get weak and we get upset, and sometimes we can't pray for ourselves. And I never forget, my older sister said, "He cannot get to you because I bind him in the name of Jesus Christ. He cannot hurt you." And that's when we need the commanders, and we need our soldiers, and we need our lieutenants and our generals, all in the army, in the spiritual warfare. And I'm really excited that you come from an army background, because you see it. And I see this book, Beauty for Ashes, the story, the tools of these women writing together as a weapon to use against this encroaching darkness that wants to overtake us. And so that's why I'm really excited about that. And how does this reality of spiritual warfare, how does that lead into what readers will gain when they read the anthology Beauty for Ashes?
Well, Parker, what I think readers will get and what they'll gain is how to use their tools and what weapons they have in their arsenal. You know, one of the things we teach even the privates when they first come into the military all the way up is how your weapon, how to use it, how to take care of it. And then your enemy's weapon. So you can identify what they're using so you know how to destroy it. And so I think when you look through this book, you'll see the tools that the enemy used to try to destroy your fellow, I'm going to say soldier, in life. But how did that soldier use their weapon to combat what was happening? How did they defend themselves? How did they set off an offense to go and attack the enemy in order to gain the ground, which is their life back, or the ground which might be their finances, or the ground that might be their mental state? How did we do that? A lot of people always say the Bible is a tool. The Bible is our weapon. It is, but you may not know how to use it. That's where being with mature soldiers and mature Christians come in using that tool. You just don't read a scripture. You have to understand what the scripture is and how to use the scripture and how to fight the battle. Because the last time I checked, our enemy was an angel. So he knows the scripture just as well as we do. So he knows our tools, but we don't ever want to learn his. So he has that upper hand because he knows what we're fighting with. In order for us to get the upper hand, we have to know what he's fighting with. And so we can look at his tricks and his tools by looking at other people's lives. And I think you get that when you read Beauty for Ashes.
So you got this idea for Beauty for Ashes, this part of the inaugural Book of the Father's Daughters anthology. What really brought me to this anthology was the title of Father's Daughters. And I think about how fatherlessness is on the rampage in our culture, and motherlessness is in the rampage, you know, how fathers really help form and shape our women just as much as motherhood shapes our women. And the Father's Daughters, what is the story behind the title of this anthology series? I'd love to know about that.
Well, funny you would ask. I'm come from a single-parent household. My father was never in my life. Matter of fact, I often call him my sperm donor because that's basically all he's ever contributed to me. I'll be 44 this summer, and I'll be married come December 13 years. And one of the biggest struggles I ever had was a relationship with men because of the lack of relationship with my father. And so it pounded on me for years and years and years on why was I having this issue. And it just dawned on me, it's because you don't have that example of what a father was supposed to be like on earth, and therefore it becomes a struggle for you to have a relationship with the Father in heaven. But God told me, he said, don't worry, you're still my daughter.
Amen.
And so I'm going to show you what a father is supposed to look. I'm going to show you what a good father looks like. And you'll understand that better and better as you get older. And as the days go on, you'll start to call me father. And then I don't even really call him father anymore. I call him daddy. I made it personal. Mm-hmm. He's my daddy. And so coming from that, because I believe that I have a ministry that helps women, or I'm called for ministry for women, I say, well, daddy, what can I do to help my sister? Because they look like they're hurting. They're being beaten and battered, and they're bruised. They're going through a lot of stuff, and we won't take care of ourselves. We'll take care of everybody else. How do I bring the doctor to them? And he said, you tell them they're the father's daughters. That's who they are. And so that's kind of how I came up with the title, is because I wanted to help my fellow sister realize who she is and whose she is. And you're the father's daughter. So therefore, you are a daughter of the king. You're a princess. You know, we just had the royal wedding, and my mother and I were talking about who Meghan really is. Is she a princess or is she a duchess? I said, she married the prince.
I know, right?
Her royal title may say duchess, but she's a princess. And don't get it twisted. She, from the moment she said, I do, her status changed. The moment we say I do to daddy, our status changed. And so I want people to realize that with a father's daughter. That's why I picked that title.
You know, it's funny because I'm kind of like a royal groupie. And I know there are other royal families, but the Brits are very much interesting than any other royal family probably on earth, okay? I hate to say that. No offense to all the other royalty families out there. Sorry. So anyway, just really into the Brits. And so we were talking about that. because I love the wedding, and I remember watching the highlights. I didn't get a chance to watch it because I was in Reno last week for the Romantic Times Book Lovers Convention, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. But I was looking at the highlights and reading the articles and sighing over the pictures and like, oh my gosh, this is gorgeous. You know how you do, just
a royal
wedding and just the pomp and circumstance. And then I got to thinking, you know what? How's our reception into the kingdom is going to be, you know, our reception, because I always thought that, you know, I'm a princess. And it's one of the reasons I love when we call the Lord Jesus our king and royalty. I love that because I like the whole idea of being of royal blood, but I'm not royal blood of my own merits. I'm not royal blood because I was born into the family. I'm not royal blood because I'm married into the family. I'm royal blood because Christ died for my sins and his blood covers me. And I am now a princess, you know, that the ashes of my sin have been returned to wherever they are. And I'm beautiful in the sight of God. You know what I mean? And so those type of things just titillate me. And as I was looking at the highlights of the royal wedding and seeing the, and I thought it was lovely. I saw the family picture they did. I loved it. But even more so is the royalty that we receive from Christ. And I like how you said that I could call him daddy. Here you have the king of everything, the creator of the universe. And we go, daddy, you know, and that's why he said, Abba, father, you know, you make it personal, you know. And I had an idea of seeing like the throne of God, and I could climb onto his knee. Like you see little kids, they climb to their grandfather or their dad or their mom's knee. And they go, daddy, look at this. Show me this. And I love the intimacy of that picture you painted. Here we are, father, the daughter of the highest king. And we can crawl onto his lap and say, daddy. You know, I love that imagery you just put there. So for those of you listening to the sound of our voices, Beauty for Ashes is going to give you so much more than you ever thought you can get. Because it's going to show you how God can turn your wounds into worship, pain for praise, and tragedy for triumph. And so let's go ahead and delve into this anthology, because different women that contributed to this anthology, I know that they were sharing parts of themselves with us as the reader. And it's very difficult to share pain, I think, sometimes, because the pain can be, you can forgive the person who may have hurt you, or you can forgive yourself. But sometimes being that transparent can hurt. When you were talking to the women who were submitting to the anthology, did you guys have to pray? Did you guys have to, like, you know, get together and say, you know, it's going to be okay, I'm a little nervous about this? Or, you know, what was that like getting the women who were going to submit for this anthology? What was that like for you?
Oh, yeah, we did a lot of counseling, and we mm-hmm. still do a lot of counseling, because even though the issue may be over, sometimes there's residue. And so mm-hmm. when you get that much pain and hurt and you're trying to get it out, there's a lot of tears to share, a lot of comforting that comes in. So we have only a few of us live in the same area, and only mm-hmm. a few of us know each other. Mm-hmm. I was blessed to meet, out of the entire other seven women, I only knew four personally starting off. But now these are my sisters completely, all seven of them. And to hear their stories and to help them wipe a tear or to give them a encouraging word, it's real. It was real then and it's real today. I spoke with two of them earlier today, and they were excited, but then they would tell me some of their tragedies and some of their heartaches and their heartbreaks. There's a bond when you I call it a scar. So when you have your womb and it heals, it becomes a scar. There's something when you share your scar with someone else and they have a similar scar. You have a bond beyond approach. And so we had conference calls where we would pray, we would talk, we would listen, and we would encourage each other. We would set ideas out. We read each other's stories prior to it actually going to press to give each other ideas and to say, well, maybe, you know, are you okay with that section? Is it a little too much? I was told by one of the authors I was too transparent. She said, you're too transparent. You put too much out there. And I said, I don't think I'm transparent enough, because I go through something, I want others to be able to go through it and not have to physically go through it. They can go through my story and learn from my mistakes so they don't have to make their own. And so I don't ever think I'm transparent enough, but a lot of people tell me all the time, you're the most transparent person I know. So when we were all getting together, that transparency that I had started to rub off on them. And in that, they were starting to get, even though there was tears, there was healing that started to come through as well.
One thing, and this is something that is pervasive for me, is the thing about beauty. And people who follow the show, they know how I used to have a deep self-hatred of myself, thinking I was this horrible, ugly woman. I used to being a big woman and not looking like the people you saw on TV. Just had this sense of deep hatred for myself. And it took a young lady several years ago. So I mind you, I love the Lord, but you still have to deal with these things about yourself that you deal with, you know. And so I took a young lady, and I knew where she was going with it. But when she finally told me, I was just like in tears. And she did like a quick story of salvation. She said, we were at dinner. She said, how much you pay for this salt shaker? She said, let's say you pay $5 for this salt shaker. She said, God paid $5 billion for you. And so you can never pay that back. And I knew where she was going at it. But sometimes I think you need to hear it differently. And I remember what she said to me that made me, I was bawling, like, I mean, crying. And she said, beauty is not in the eye of the beholder. It's in the eye of the creator. And when she said that, I was just, like, something fell off of me. And I was just bawling, and I couldn't get over it. I was like, you know how you do it. So, you know, all that hollering and stuff that we do at church sometimes, you know. And that came over me. And so for me, beauty, wanting to feel pretty, wanting to look like I am a beautiful person, you know, having that come on and having it become something real because the Lord finds me beautiful. Now I have to find my beauty in man, you know. And so for me, that's a pervasive thought for me, you know. And I still battle with low self-esteem every so often. I still battle with it. You know, sometimes you look and you can feel that demon just on you, like, you know what, you're too fat, you have fake things on your face, and or your lips is too big, you know how we do those negative thoughts that hit us, you know that. So for me, Beauty for Ashes, just the title really drew me, you know, because you think, oh, I look like the back of a bus, and on the back of a bus, what do you see? A bunch of dirt, you know. And I thought about ashes. I'm like, I look at the back of a bus. And then you have to stop talking that way. You have to stop doing that because then you really start to believe it. And I know how pervasive those thoughts are. And so that's one thing I know is going to be coming through with that story, is learning how to stop talking negatively about yourself or things of that nature. What are some other things, and some of the other stories that are explored in Beauty for Ashes, what are some other things that readers are going to gain through those stories? Like, I know it means to love myself, learn how to love yourself and know that you are loved already. But what are some other things that are going to come through from that?
Well, right off the top of my head, I can see one that says your circumstance doesn't determine your position. And there is a story called The Lost Daughter. It is by Ratasha Jesse Jones. And to give you a hint of, I'm not going to give you her whole story, but I'm going to tell you that in her story, she goes to jail. Mm. And we would think going to jail would be a not great place to be. You can't make any difference. You can't change. But because she went to jail, she saved someone's life.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter where you are. It still determines who you are because you're his. You know, who would have thought going to jail I could save? So you would think, you know, my daughter, again, they're Girl Scouts, and I'm a troop leader, and we went to an award ceremony, and they heard about a fellow Girl Scout who saved her brother's life because they were in a swimming pool.
Mm.
You imagine images like that. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. We see it on television all the time. You fall in a pool, somebody jumps in with all their clothes on to pull you out. Or you're administering CPR. Or you call 911. Who would imagine going to jail where no one ever wants to go, you're going to save someone's life? And so I think the biggest thing is you're going to realize that your circumstance or where you are doesn't give you the position of who you are. And that's through all the stories, all of them.
Mm-hmm. I like that. And when you said jail, the first thing I did was shudder because I don't ever want to go to jail. I don't ever want to go to jail. I watch a lot of I watch American Greed, and I don't know if you watch that show. I watch it on Hulu, Netflix. And I love that show. It is the most depressing show on earth, okay? Because these people get swindled out of millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, life savings, everything. And then these people take their money and buy boats and cars and houses,
right,
and go on trips.
Right.
Yeah. It's a horrible show, right? But I can't stop watching it, you know? And as I watch the show, I'm looking like the people, they got 38 years here or 20 years there or 7 years there. I don't want to spend a minute in jail, you know? So
right,
for you to tell us and just give us just a hint of here a person who goes to jail and saves someone's life, and you kind of go, that is beautiful, Lord, but I don't want that to be me.
I understand, but, Parker, because I tell people all the time, I don't do jail.
I know.
I do law and order.
Jill, you know, me and Jill, we do, you know, I like to watch it on TV, like, oh, it sucks to be you. You know,
exactly.
You know? But the Lord, if we say yes, I love that song by Shekinah Glory. He said that song by yes. If I say yes and you say yes, are you going to go where I tell you to go? Well, she's singing that song. And that comes true. When I hear that story, that comes true. Are you going to go where I want to go? Now, we don't know all the particulars. That's why I want you to pick up a copy of Beauty for Ashes today, so you'll know what is behind the story of our author going to jail and how she saved someone's life while she's in jail. And that just titillates you. And there's more of these type of stories in this anthology that is an offering from Gathering House Publishing that Zara Brodenex is the head of. So make sure you go ahead and get a copy of Beauty for Ashes today. It's available online or wherever books are sold. And so these are stories that eight women have told to show how God transforms wounds for worship, pain for praise, and tragedy for triumph. In other words, beauty for ashes. We're going to go ahead and take another quick break. When we come back, more with Zara Brodenex and more about Beauty for Ashes, about her publishing company, and where you can connect with her. If you want to call in and ask a question, you know you can. Call in at 646-668-8485 and then press that one. We'll be right back.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The SpecFaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's
question. If you write a book, everybody will rush out to buy it. Obvious answer, no. If you were a celebrity or if you had a huge marketing budget, then maybe you can get a lot of exposure for your book. Another solution would be to check out JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com is a promotion and marketing service with access to over 1/3 of a million followers on Twitter. JoeyTweets.com has 3 packages available to fit any budget. That's JoeyTweets.com. JoeyTweets.com. Get some serious exposure for your books.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5, the best radio station in the land, PJC Media, right here for the best in Christian talk radio. And you know what's so fascinating is as we continue to talk to Zahra Brodinex, I'm just so overwhelmed by the spirit that's just pouring out of her, a spirit that knows what it's like to be in the pit of spiritual warfare, a spirit that has known what it's like to be fatherless and known what it's like to struggle and can still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And you can just tell that as you listen and talk to Zahra that she's been there. And so what I want you to do is love my sister today and all the other women who have contributed to this anthology, Beauty for Ashes. It's available on Amazon.com and is the inaugural book of the Fathers Daughters Anthology Series. Zahra is also the head of Gathering House Publishing, which is currently accepting manuscripts. And Zahra's going to tell you a little bit more about that. I'm not going to mess up that announcement, Zahra. So go ahead, tell us what you are currently looking for. What projects are you looking for them? So people who want to submit to you, they can do that. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Well, thank you, Parker. I'm looking for the compliment to the Father's Daughters for the men. I have the King's Men. The book is called Strong and Mighty. I'm looking for men who have been through something that can help with their fellow brother. What I've come to realize is even though women won't go get help from a doctor, we will talk to each other, but men won't talk. They'll walk around acting like they're strong and they're powerful and they have everything on their shoulders, and really what they have, they have a weak foundation because they've taken on so much that they're destroying themselves. So, and they think they're alone because no other man can understand what I'm going through. So I'm looking for men to send in stories, 2,000 words or less, about something that they've been through in real life that can help another brother out, because I can't talk to a brother. I'm a woman. I can't put in the right lingo. But you can, and I'm looking for people to submit their stories by the end of July, beginning of August, so we can release the book in November. Quick turnaround, very quick, because next year I have like 4 more anthologies I want to release out, but this one is something I believe that is really needed right now.
You know, it's fascinating that you mentioned that, because men have a lot of insecurities just like women do. And I may get in trouble for saying this, so Zahra, I apologize. But I am all for women's empowerment and, you know, pushing women forward, making sure women are treated equally. But I don't think we should down our men in order to do that. I don't think we should emasculate them to do that. And I think some of the secular feminists out there are trying to emasculate men and trying to make them more feminine instead of, you know, pouring into them their own masculinity. This is just me, like I may get in trouble for saying that. And we don't want our men to go without help, you know, because right now, I think it's a good thing that we're bringing certain practices to light. I think that's good. I think that is good that the victims are finally having their stories told and not dismissed. I think that's good too. But in that, I wonder if we're just simply switching sides. And so this, you know, in this thing about spiritual warfare, which I think some of this is undergirded by too, we have to be careful that we don't try to uplift one gender or the other. If Christ came to save us all, that means we're all equally important, you know. And so I'm really glad that you're seeing that. It's like, you know, men need encouragement just like women do. They just need to hear it differently, you know. They don't want to hear, tell me your tears, Parker. Just tell me, you know. They don't want to hear all that. You know?
Right. Well, I look at that, and I agree with you. A lot of women, because of the way, you know, society has been turned, we believe that we don't need men in our lives. That's not how the Bible wrote it. That's not what God says. And so a lot of people don't follow the word of God, and so they have a misconception of what life is supposed to be like when it comes to family and to relationship and how to treat others. You know, men are strong, but they also have a heart. And if you prick them, they bleed as well. We was at a dance studio. My little girl has a recital tomorrow, and we were sitting there, and a little boy started to cry, and one girl told him, stop crying, men don't cry. At least 4 women all jumped up and said, don't tell him that. It was remarkable to see, because I was raised in the time period where people told their boys that men don't cry. Men don't cry. But to see women, mothers, my age, say, no, don't say that. I think there needs to be a turn, in, especially in the Me Too movement. I want women to have their voices. I mm-hmm. really do. And I want justice to be done.
Right.
But you don't destroy somebody else in order to get your glory. And
that's
true. I think that's what people don't realize. You know, you have a legacy, and what do you want your legacy to say when you close your eyes? What is that dash? I don't want to take anybody out, but I want to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I may not like what you're doing, but I also realize that I'm supposed to love all of my everyone.
Exactly.
I love you. So I think that's what we've lost. People misconfuse love for like, and if I don't like mm-hmm. you, then I can destroy you. No, you're supposed to love everybody. You're supposed to
yeah.
love them all.
And love forgives a multitude of sins. It really does. And
yeah.
one thing about this whole thing, when we talk about, you know, that's why I'm so glad that you've mentioned about having that companion compliment book to that. And what I have to be honest with you, you know, when God created Adam and God brought him all these, the other animals, and I used to think, well, God didn't know that Adam needed Eve. But the more I thought about it, I said, it's not that he didn't know. It's like he wanted Adam to realize it. You know, Adam
yeah.
wanted to realize that, hey, you know, I got something better for you. And I, to this day, I would love to have seen Adam's face when he saw Eve. I just would love to have seen that, you know, because he probably looked up, woke up, was like, oh, you know, hello, Lord, how you doing? And he said, what is this? You know,
yes.
I totally would love to see that. And, you know, Eve would have came to him. I don't know how she could have been sitting next to him for all we know, but he would have said, I'm happy, you know.
Right,
I
right.
seen that. I am so happy, and just to just have that knowing that, you know, we're made to be together. You know, he didn't make Eve alone. And too often in the past, I think the church has, in a sense, erroneously focused on Eve being made for Adam, and she was, but Adam was made for Eve too. You know, so you know, so we wouldn't be alone. You know, yeah, she was made after him, but she didn't. He didn't make her after him to be by herself. You know, she made him to be with Adam and be with her. You know, it's a kind of a dance here, you know. And so I think that you doing that is just a great way of showing that God needs made us both, for both of us, that we both need help, that both genders need help, and that it's okay for to show our vulnerabilities. Because sometimes some women, and I know some women in this anthology could definitely attest to that, we've been hurt, and so we get hardened, our hearts hardened, and we don't want to hear it. We don't want nothing to do with men. Men have treated me like crap. I don't want to be bothered anymore, you know, and how God has to just shape that heart and soften it up some. And so I know those of you listening to the sound of my voice, you're going to be blessed by this anthology, Beauty for Ashes, which is an offering of Gathering House Publishing, which Zara Brodenax is the head of. And she also is an author service provider consultant. So if you are an author looking for help with marketing your book, getting your book polished, getting the word out there, you definitely want to contact Zara as well. And Zara, I want people to have opportunity to do that. So go ahead and give us your online connection so people can get in contact with you.
Yes, definitely, Parker. My online connection is Zara R. Brodenax. And you can figure that out at Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. It's spelled ZaraRBroadenax. Also, I have GatheringHousePublishing.com is my website. I have a ability. You can email me there at contact@GatheringHousePublishing.com. So, again, it's Zara R. Brodenax at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and then GatheringHousePublishing.com.
You know, Zara, one thing I want to thank you so much for being with us on the show and really helping us to understand what Beauty for Ashes is. But I want you to pray for us, and I want you to pray for us because there are so many of us, men and women alike, young and old, that are hurting right now. There are so many people hurting right now. And the few moments you have left, would you mind praying for us? I'm going to mute myself so you can just pray uninhibited and just pray for us today, okay?
Okay, thank you. Heavenly Father, right now, God, we come just to say first, thank you for being our daddy, God, for being our Lord, for being our Savior, for being our King. We are so glad that you sit high, but that you look low, God, that you have manufactured this world for us, God, that you have manufactured our steps, God, that you've ordered them. Father, we just glorify you and worship you on today. We ask, God, that you put inside of our hearts desires that you have for us so that we can fellowship and rejoice in all the blessings that you've bestowed. God, we ask that you give us the strength that we need in order to lean heavily on you, but more important, to understand the strength that you have placed inside of us. God, we ask that you help us on the battlefield of life, realize how to fight our battles, not just to be soft-spoken or have be humble, but God, that we can be bold and powerful like a lion, that you walked in both aspects, God. I can see you right now when, Father, you went in into the temple and you turned over the tables because you were displeased by what they had done in your household. So, Father, we ask right now that you give us that spirit of boldness, that you give us that spirit of power to be able to go turn up some things in our lives, turn over all the people who try to run rampant inside of our lives when it comes to money and power and mental abilities, Father, and spiritual heartaches, God, and to our physical ailments, God. We ask that you come right now and you be a healer inside of our life, God, that you said from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet that we're healed. You said by your stripes we're healed, God. We know that no weapon formed against us will prosper at each and every aspect, that they said you know that we have the ability to forge the battle and proceed on to victory. God, they said that no weapon would form, but you didn't say it wouldn't form. So we know, Father, that you have given us all the blessings and the powers that we need, all the tools of the trade in order to combat what's going on. We are more than conquerors right now because we lean on you, God. We ask that you gird us up inside of our bellies, God, that you give us a helmet for our mind, God, that you have us speak truth at every aspect, that no thing that the enemy can do as he comes seeking who he can destroy, that he can't come this way, that we're girded in you, Father, that you are our lighthouse, that you are our salvation. Our foundation is planted highly on you. God, right now, I speak to every situation in a person's life, whether it be mental, emotional, physical, sexual, educational, spiritual. God, I speak to them right now that you give them power over, that they understand who they are and whose they are, that they have a map planned out according to the path that you've placed in front of them, that you called us before we were in our mother's womb, God, that you birthed us inside of us, what you have for us, God. We thank you right now that you know the numbers of hair on our head, that we know your voice and a voice of another we won't follow. God, we come to you because we have nowhere else to go, nor should we want to, until we come to you. You are our advisor, our speaker, and our maker. You are our creator and our Lord. We are glorified by who you are, God. We love you in every aspect of the word, and we thank you for the life you've given us. Sometimes it may have some battles. Sometimes it may have some storms, but you have pulled us out each and every time. And when we get to go down and be depressed, you pull us up out of our depression. When we get down and we have nothing left in our bank accounts, you pour money into our accounts. When our bodies are sick and ailment and we have pain, you give us a remedy to give us wholeness. Father, we thank you that you've taken care of every need even before we even knew to ask for it. We are honored, Father, that you call us your children, but more so that we can call you Daddy, that you can sit on the throne and make room and concessions for us. One of the things I love, God, is the fact that in your house there are many mansions. Not inside of mansions are many houses, but inside your house, singular, are many matches, and I get to be set up inside living with you, God. I'm grateful for the fact that you have streets of gold and gates of pearl that I can come and walk in fellowship with you. I can't wait to see your face, and until that moment comes, God, I want to make sure that we pour out ourselves completely, that we're empty when we leave this place, that we have touched another, that our legacy is that we are your child and we are the child of the King. Father, that we have done everything that you willed in our lives to do. We glorify you for that. We thank you right now, and we praise you in each and every day. Amen.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I feel I've been to church right now. You know, I love that prayer. That prayer just, I could feel it going through my headphones and into my ears, and it tingled down my body. It's like, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. I felt just the prayers of the righteous avail of much, and may the Lord take your words, take your prayer, may be seen throughout anyone who is listening to the sound of our voices, Lord Jesus. Just let them be blessed by the prayer of Zara today. Zara, once again, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for your service to our country. Thank you so much for the service to the kingdom. Thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us on the show. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Thank you, Parker. I can't wait to talk to you again, and I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
And we were talking today to Zara Brodeneck. She is the founder of Gathering House Publishing, as well as a co-contributor to the anthology series Beauty for Ashes, which is book one of the Father's Daughters anthology series. If you're looking for healing, if you're wondering how can God take the bad things in my life and turn them into good, you definitely want to get a copy of Beauty for Ashes. It's already received rave reviews. So go ahead and love my sisters who all contributed to this anthology today. And if you want to contribute to an upcoming anthology, make sure you connect with Zara online. Simply type in her name, Zara Brodeneck. That's Brodeneck. You can simply do that online and you'll find her on Twitter, on Facebook, Instagram. Connect with her. She's currently looking for men to submit 2,000 words or less for a compliment anthology called The King's Men. And it's not the British one where the guy's doing all the secret agent stuff, but it's The King's Men. It's the compliment to the father's daughter, and basically looking for men to help encourage men in their time of need and their time of crisis. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious blessed day, and God bless.